Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 45 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. In this episode, I had the chance to talk to Robert Jacob Lerma, the barbecue photographer. He's an incredible photographer. He lives a kind of a double life. We talk about that. He's a CEO at a hospital, so and then he does the barbecue on the side, but it's like a full-time thing, so he has essentially two full-time jobs. I talked to him from Briscoe Ranch, the Briscoe Ranch barbecue cook-off, which is in Uvalde, Texas. So we at first get the chance to meet some of the people that are there. There's Mo Kayson, there's Ernest Cervantes, there's Fred. There's some really, really cool guys, and kind of a little behind-the-scenes thing before he does go into his history, his background. You'll find it fascinating how he got into photography and then how he moved back to Texas to live, and then became passionate about going to barbecue joints and old barbecue joints, and about the tradition and the personalities and the people behind barbecue. I know you're gonna love this. It's really interesting, and it's interesting to see how he went from not being a person in the barbecue world to now he is sponsored by Yeti, he's sponsored by Stetson, he's sponsored by a pit maker, he's just on and on and on, and he's contracted with different restaurants to shoot, and it's just, and when you see his photos, you know they're photos from Robert. If you're liking these, please subscribe. That way you can get all the back episodes. I have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. I also have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. But enjoy this. What is up? How are you doing?
How you doing? That's Kevin right there. Nice to meet you, Kevin.
Nice to meet you.
You catch me on a busy day, so you can kind of see me walk around.
Hey, perfect.
And probably know Mo Kayson.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Awesome.
Look at this guy right here.
Hey, what's up, Mo?
Hey, who's that?
That's Kevin. He's in L.A.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, Mo? How you doing?
Oh, he's making some compound butter.
Look at him. Look how fancy he is.
That is super fancy.
Mo Kayson over here.
Nice.
See you a little. All right, let me go. I'm going to go sit down. I'm in Uvalde, Texas right now.
Okay, cool.
About 3 hours from Austin.
All right.
And then you got all the tools of the trade.
Oh, nice.
You got the, can you see that?
Yeah.
D850, that's my new baby. That's what I use for a lot of action shots.
Okay.
And then this is my moneymaker right here, my GFX Fuji.
Okay.
You see that? It's too close.
No, that's perfect. No, it's I can see it.
Yeah. All right. So
where exactly are you? What festival is it again?
The Crossroads in Uvalde, Texas.
Okay.
Ernest says it's the oldest cook-off in America.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to it before?
This is my first time. They hired me to come out here.
Oh, cool. Nice. You'll be there through Sunday?
I'll be here actually until tomorrow afternoon. Then I got to go back and get into my Bruce Wayne outfit and go play CEO of my hospital for our Christmas party.
and then you're going back out to this, or are you just going to be here all day?
Then I'll stay up there. And then next week I'll have a work week. And then next week I'll be in Houston shooting some more. And then I'll pick up my barbecue pit. I just got signed on as ambassador for Pitmaker.
Oh, nice.
First non-barbecue guy on their team.
That's so huge. That's crazy.
It looks like you're at the beach.
No, I'm at my home. This is just like it's just a little thatch. That, yeah, I'm at the, I'm pretty far. I'm only 30 miles from the ocean. Woodland Hills.
Yeah, I like that little background you have going on right there.
I like to make it so it's not so busy, because I think I'd rather have the background of the person I'm interviewing more interesting. Like, that's really cool with the smoker back there.
Oh, yeah. So, give you a little tour.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That's Ernest's, he calls it La Ruca. That's one of his pits right there. That's what he does.
That's beautiful.
What does he cook on this? Brisket?
Brisket.
Pork butts and ribs.
Nice.
And then we're lighting up the burn barrels right here.
Chicken and steak.
Chicken and steaks in here.
Nice.
Nothing yet.
Oh, that's so cool.
This is Eli, another guy of our squad.
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
Yeah, he's actually another doctor, but he just got tired of medicine too. All he wants to do is barbecue.
That looks really cool too, with the sun shining through. That's like a perfect.
Yeah, well, you are talking to a photographer. I'm trying to be artistic.
That's you are.
I will say that that was intentional, but that just happened to be there.
Are you shooting this with an iPhone?
Yeah, this iPhone. Hold on, move my hand. Flip it back around. Hold on, got twisted a little bit.
Okay.
There we go. All right, so walking you around. So again, this the other guys next door lighting up the pit maker.
Okay.
So this is a state competition tonight, and then tomorrow is a big competition. You can kind of see.
Oh, cool.
This is about 200 teams here. Some other folks over here, and you got all over.
That's a big cook-off.
Yeah. This is the main barn, right there. You can kind of see it.
Uh huh.
And then the teams kind of wrap around that barn too.
Okay. Ah. That's gonna be a fun night.
So this area, you got all the big dogs. I don't know if you know Fred Robles. He just won. Fred Robles.
Yeah. I'm not friends with him, but I know of him.
Yeah, so let's go see. So Mo's right there. He just rolled in from Iowa about an hour ago.
Mo. Mo is a personality.
Yeah. So then Fred's over here. Let's see if he's in there. Say hi to Fred.
Hey, Fred. How you doing?
That's part of the access, Kevin. He's knocking on their door and opening it up.
You have all access.
He may be naked. He may be lit up. Nice brisket. Look how pretty that is, Kevin.
That's gorgeous. That's beautiful.
Where's that? Snake River?
This is actually...
Oh, that's actually probably yours, right?
It's a prime, man. Yeah.
Look how pretty that is, Kevin.
That's gorgeous. That's a beautiful shot. Thank you so much. Oh, that's killing me.
Up close, look at that. Look at the beard.
That's my first beard close-up that I've had on this interview series.
So we'll go back around. All right, so we'll go back, sit down. But yeah, it's kind of a good time. I don't do a lot of competition, cook-offs. You know, to be quite honest, not really my thing. I don't really think it's as fascinating as going to a lot of small towns and barbecue places. A lot of times it's just a dog and pony show, to be honest. My opinion, but it's always a good time to hang out, see everybody, see my friends.
Yeah, to connect.
And kind of connect. I mean, you know, they invited me to come here, so it just happened to be a weekend. I wasn't, you know, traveling. I was just in Atlanta, South Carolina, Charleston last weekend, the weekend before, and then Houston, and then Dallas earlier in the week, and then here this weekend, and then I got... I haven't decided if I'm going to North Carolina next week. I got North Carolina and possibly Virginia. I just got off the phone before I was talking to you. It was Tuffy. He wants me to go back out there to Virginia.
Oh, cool.
So keeps me busy.
Yeah, it does. Definitely. You have probably the busiest schedule of almost anyone I've talked to. And it just seems it's getting like you're turning down things because you can't do them all.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly the case. That's exactly the case. You know, and... Part of the ongoing debate is, you know, whether I do this full time or I stick with, you know, trying to balance out my hospital job, you know, running a psychiatric hospital and then, you know, moonlighting as a photographer on the weekends. But, you know, I'll get to the point where I'm saying more often than I'd like, which makes me a little, you know, I feel bad a lot of the time because, you know, I like, you know, they appreciate the work. And at the same time, I'd like to help some of these folks out. But, you know, there's only so much time in the day, so.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, how did you get into photography? You grew up in Los Angeles. I mean, northern L.A. County, or was it in Ventura County?
Well, coincidentally, it's right there where the fires are going on right now.
Okay.
Let me just flip this around real quick. Probably better. I grew up, my dad was military. My family's from South Texas.
Okay.
My parents were born in... Brownsville and Corpus Christi. My dad was military, so we grew up in a naval base in Ventura County, which is in between LA and Santa Barbara. Mm-hmm. You're familiar.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it in Oxnard, or was it in, or just a little north of Oxnard?
So I went to high school. I was born in Oxnard. I went to high school in Oxnard.
Okay.
But I was, for a little bit of my youth, I lived on the base in Wynemi and Point Magoo.
Okay.
Yeah, and then when my dad passed away when I was 11, we just stay there.
Okay.
But we bounce back and forth between here and Texas. you know, when we were younger. But like I said, when he passed away, we just stayed there. From a photography standpoint, I think, you know, I dabbled a little bit in high school, nothing serious. My first real foray into photography was my first job at the police department. I was 19, was working for Port Hueneme Police Department, and I was doing crime scene. I was a crime scene technician. So they sent me to crime scene school to learn how to, you know, again, take pictures of crime scenes, autopsies, accidents. So that's when I really started to do photography. Nothing related to food. But at the same time, getting down to basics.
And then, were you developing your own film at the time, too? Was it old school?
No, at that time, it was kind of the first really generation of digital photography.
Okay.
So I remember the first camera I had at the police department. It was a big camera. Might have been 1 or 2 megapixels. You take it floppy disks.
Wow, floppy disks.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's how crazy it was. So, yeah, let me move over here real quick. I did that for a little bit. And then, again, I didn't do any food photography, any barbecue photography, nothing of that sort until we started really considering moving back to Texas. So that started in 2005 was the first time. My girlfriend at the time, my wife now, we visited Austin, and we were just tourists.
Okay.
You know, her parents were going to retire out to San Antonio. I knew ultimately after I finished graduate school, I didn't want to be in California. So we flew into Austin, drove around the whole state, really all Central Texas. And I had an old Texas Monthly edition, I think from 90, might have been 98, 99. Best, okay. You know. Top 50.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think it's 98 for some reason. I don't know why. I think it's 98.
Something like that. Yeah. And I also had a GQ magazine, which had talked about Louis Miller, Blacks.
I had that one, too. I think I got that one.
And Southside. So I didn't know about any of those things. You know, I grew up eating tri-tip for the most part. And then, you know, pretty much anything we can get our hands on. I grew up pretty poor. So, you know, it wasn't too uncommon to have whole heads, brains in my freezers, which is now, you know, bottom of goa, but at the time, you know, I didn't know. You know, it's what we had. So during that first trip, that's when I went to Black's, Louis Miller, Southside, and Smitty's, and I was pretty much taken aback by how cool they were. I was using, I think, Cheats Canon Elf I bought off Craigslist. Nothing real fancy. I didn't really know what I was doing. I just, you know, again, playing tour sightseer,
mm-hmm.
You know, and the tour guide was the magazines. And we would continue to visit.
But those are those are iconic locations that you went to. So they probably, you were blown away by the architecture and the ambiance.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's what I was kind of drawn to because, you know, in California, you know, there's not that type of history.
No.
From a barbecue standpoint, so, you know, from about 2005 to 2007, we would visit at least once a year. And I would just continue to take pictures, you know, but I didn't share anything with anybody. I didn't have Twitter. I didn't have Facebook. You know, some more guys right there, Jay Tinney, some other guys.
That's so funny.
But again, just kind of messing around. And then we ultimately moved in 2008, in 2008, in the summer. And at the time, my wife was still a vegetarian, so I was working for the sheriff's office. And I had odd days off, so I was like, I don't know anybody. What the fuck am I going to do on my days off, which were Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday?
Uh-huh.
Well, I just started driving around the state by myself, taking pictures. And still, that was 2008. That was just something fun to do, get out of the house. And then around 2013, somebody talked to me about Twitter. And they said, hey, you're into barbecue. This would be a good probably avenue to meet more people who are into barbecue.
For sure.
So I started a Twitter account, didn't know what I was doing. Didn't know what hashtags were. Didn't know if I was even doing it right. But started sharing my first pictures and started connecting with people in about a month. Maybe about a month and a half later, that was, I think, May of 13, Texas Monthly called me in June and said, hey, we're working on this series, Photographer of the Month. We've never done it before. We would like you to lead off. And that was, I was talking to Daniel Vaughn, and you know, I've known Daniel a little bit. He just got put in that role of editor. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know, I'm not a photographer. I was like, but your pictures are pretty good. I was like, well, for me, it made me a little uncomfortable. Because I just thought it was just this fun thing to do, hobby. Now here I'm going to be exposed, and you know, and you know, growing up as a kind of shy kid, it's like, what are they going to think?
Of course,
I get into my own head. But you know, ultimately he kind of talked me into it, and sure enough, I think it was that July 13, I led that series off, and you know, kind of the rest is history. I started, you know, getting more and more notice. I don't even have Twitter anymore. It's got, for me, annoying. But I just started, you know, connecting with people, meeting different folks from different areas. Really started building my brand of what I didn't know at the time, but what, you know, a style of photography, trying to tell stories, which again led to some pretty cool opportunities, you know, with some cool companies, Yeti, Stetson, 44, Smithfield, a few other ones, and then, you know, being featured in some pretty well-known magazines. You know, I got put as board president for Food Waste Texas, you know, lectures at Texas A&M. You know, here I am, again, some guy who feels like he still doesn't belong in this area, getting asked to go do all these things. It's pretty damn cool.
No, it's really cool. So at the same time, are you working at your hospital, or is that... How is that kind of like, because this is, you said this is 2008 or was this
2008 to 2010. I was at the sheriff's office. Okay. I was working in central booking doing suicide risk evaluations.
Oh, wow.
And then during the week, and then on the weekends or my weekdays off, I'd go, you know, do what I do. And then I moved from there to go to Texas Department of Criminal Justice, overseeing contracts and behavioral health within the prison system. I oversaw multiple high risk ad segregation units, a lot of the mental health authorities in the state, and again, a lot of that is pretty boring to me, so I had to do something to stay relatively normal outside. So again, I relied on my barbecue stuff, and then I was recruited to come into the hospital area. I mean, my background is in law enforcement, and you know, for a time I was working as a stock worker with Morgan Stanley, and then my education is in clinical psych, so I kind of pulled all those field together, and I was recruited to come into my hospital and as originally director of business development, and then I was promoted to chief executive officer in April of last year.
Oh, wow.
At 34, and still, you know, I was replacing somebody who was 65. So some big shoes to fill. And you know, he had been in healthcare longer than I had been alive. But for the most part, you know, we've done well at my hospital. So I balance out both. So your question was, how do I do both? So
yeah, how do you?
I get in pretty early at my hospital. I have a pretty solid team. You know, I never really leave. You know, my work comes with me, so I'm always aware of what's going on. We do inpatient psychiatry. So we're dealing with people on the worst day of their life, suicidal, homicidal, psychotic, depressive people. You know, I'm active on a number of boards in the community. People who see me on my life on Instagram or Facebook, most people don't know I have a day job, which I try and keep them separate. And
you do a good job. I didn't know either.
Yeah, I tell them this is what I do. Like, no, you're fucking with me. You don't. When do you do this? You're everywhere. Well, yeah, I don't sleep a lot either. But I travel a lot. But you know, for the most part, they keep me around. I'm doing pretty well.
And so, what barbecue joints did you shoot that first photo shoot for Texas Monthly? Do you remember what it was, or for the one for that feature?
No. I didn't, it wasn't a shoot. They had me submit my. What I thought was my best pictures or picture that you know, kind of meant a lot to me. So I submitted about 8 pictures to them, and some of the people that I submitted are now deceased, which is pretty cool. So I submitted a lot of portraits, which is I prefer to do portraits, but you know, I understand, you know, people like the food aspect and also buildings. I think my favorite part of photography is just kind of taking some really cool portraits of people, kind of trying to get them in their most authentic form, as you would call it.
Yeah, for sure. Now, what were you shooting with at that time? Do you remember what camera you were using?
Nikon D3100, which it's just crazy when I think about it, because I had buyer's remorse when I bought it. It was like $400. And I felt so guilty buying that camera. I was like, how am I going to tell my wife I've just spent $400 on a camera? which is kind of crazy when I think of it now. There's like 30 grand in equipment in my bag. And, you know, I think of how I started, you know, but at the time, you know, I always related to how I started playing golf. I started playing golf in high school with this cheap ass set from the 70s that I bought at a garage sale. And I got down the form, I got down to an 8 handicap. And then once I got really good, I bought upgraded TaylorMade. So I
is that what you kind of recommend to people too that are interested in getting to photography, especially food related photography or barbecue?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any real reason to go all in if you don't really have the feel down, the eye down. I mean, whether you're not, you have what I have now, it's not going to make up for you not understanding kind of the nuances
for sure
of photography. And I've seen really, really quality stuff. And I mean, look back to the stuff I did early on. That was with a cheap camera.
Yeah, yeah. You just had a sense. You had a sense of it.
Exactly. So, and you know, I get a lot of these questions. Is like, what kind of camera should I start off with? And they want to go all out. Is like, you're using this? Should I get this? Is like, just because you're have the means to get that,
for sure,
does not mean you should get that. Get it down first. So I remember there's a person that I know in the area who went all in, spent like $10,000-$12,000 on equipment. And then ultimately ended up selling it all. It's a huge investment. It's a huge commitment. And, you know, similar to any type, whether it's a fancy barbecue pit, you still got to know how to cook on it.
Yeah, yeah.
You may have great quality meat, but if you don't know what you're doing with that meat, I mean, whether it's Wagyu or utility select, you know what you're doing, it's going to taste like shit.
Yeah, yeah. And if you don't have the passion and you don't have the dedication, that's also, people probably just, they think that taking a picture is easy too, I bet.
Yeah, and I can't even tell you how many times, you know, people come up to me early on and ask me, well, what was this ISO, aperture, shutter speed? I was like, you might as well be speaking Russian to me. I have no idea what you're talking about.
That's so funny.
That sounds great. Beginning, I was literally just more trying to frame stuff. I wasn't so much concerned about the technical stuff, because I was more concerned about capturing moments. Trial and error, and then I started, you know, really kind of speaking the language, getting it down. It just kind of just came to me, similar to, you know, when I started typing without looking at the keyboard.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And now it's a second nature.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what do you for the rest, for the starting of the year, do you already have your whole like first quarter already planned out?
Yeah, normally I'm about 6 weeks out. So I try and be as mindful of my family and my work. I have, you know, wife and three kids. But at the same time, I recognize that, you know, there's a lot of opportunities. For example, you know, in the last 3 months, I've been proposed to go to Sweden, Australia, Russia, Ireland, and Nepal. And obviously, I can't go do those on the weekend.
No.
So I'm going to have to make a decision pretty soon. Do I, you know, maybe take a sabbatical and start doing more of these, or do I continue saying no? I don't assume people are going to always ask me to continue to go if I continue to tell them no.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a tough situation. I mean, it's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
However, it's still a problem, because I would love to go do all these, see all these places, shoot all these people that I've seen, you know, across the world. But the reality is there's a time factor that doesn't allow me to do it on the weekends.
Are these all barbecue related trips?
Yeah, but I mean, the one in Ireland, it's going to be the World Butcher Championships.
Oh.
Russia is, there's a guy I met who's into barbecue. He has a couple of restaurants who wants me to go out for a few of their big festivals in St. Petersburg. Sweden.
Is it Johan?
I contribute to the book with Holy Smoke Barbecue. Yeah. I contribute on that book. Australia, it's with Meat Sock, going to do some events out there. Nepal, that would be with Kamado Joe's. They want me to kind of capture kind of the how you eat going climbing Everest.
Oh, that's so cool.
Which is, yeah, so there's all these kind of cool opportunities that they, you know, they see what I'm doing and say, hey, some of them they pitch to me, some of them they ask, they talk to me about the location, hey, what do you think you could do here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, recently I was contacted by Food Network and Discovery Channel about hosting a show, travel show. There's like, pretty much, would you want a camera crew following you around doing what you already do? It's like, really thought about that. Good question. I don't know.
It's like Inception. It's like a camera crew following a camera.
It's kind of weird, again, because I never envisioned any of this happening, because I just always thought this was something cool to do, go see people, you know, and in their elements, whether it be a new place, or I'm more drawn to places with history and a story, small towns.
For sure.
But, you know, I'm fortunate to have an audience that people pay attention to what I do, so I'm more mindful of what I share and what I post. God forbid I post something that's terrible, I'm going to hear about it.
Do you hear about it?
I do. They're like, oh, are you having a bad day? Or what was that going on there? And, you know, as far as the style, you know, Tuffy was telling me about a style. It's like, I don't know. I don't know any of these things. But apparently I have a style. I have a way I go about. Which, again, it's kind of cool because I'm so oblivious to a lot of these things that I'm doing already on my own. But, you know, people really just pay attention to.
What was it like when the first sponsor came towards you? Who was the first person that came and said, hey, you know, I want to sponsor you? Because that's kind of unique, too, for a photographer.
Yeah, I've been with Yeti and 44 for about 4 years.
44 Farms, sorry.
Yeah, 44 Farms and Yeti for about 4 years. I mean, they came to me early on to try and build up their you know, I remember when we started 44, they were harvesting 20 head a week, which is 50, which is, well, 40 briskets.
Wow.
Which is to like somebody like Aaron. Aaron's cooking over 100 briskets. Nothing. All potatoes. You know, now they're up to, you know, 200 briskets. Now they're on, you know, a billion-dollar buyer with Tillman. You know, they have so much exposure. I mean, just a quality product. And I'm very fortunate to have them back me from early on.
That's fantastic.
One of my favorite places in the world is to go to that ranch. And then the same thing with Yeti. And, you know, I always hear all these, you know, there's all these competitors coming to the market now. But, you know, there's a loyalty to I have the Yeti. I mean, whether somebody wants to pitch me more money, you know, I'm Yeti all day, every day, because they've been behind me since day one.
They're an amazing company. They're just super smart and savvy and just down to earth. It feels like they're true to their brand. And the people that they're catering towards.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I live maybe 5 miles from the Yeti headquarters, so I'm pretty fortunate to be able to pop in and out. You know, me and my wife were looking for new houses. She always jokes with me, you know, we need a 3-4-car garage just for my Yeti stuff. But if you look in my garage, I have pretty much every cooler that they make. I mean, I have to have them on stock just so I can, in the event they want a picture of this or a picture of that.
For sure.
But it's always kind of funny when people... You come to my house, or my UPS driver thinks I'm a drug dealer because he's always making Yeti deliveries or something. He's like, what do you do?
You're
like,
smuggling stuff in Yeti.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool.
And you said Stetson and the eyewear. What's the eyewear company?
Skeleton Optics. Okay. Another brand that just started off by a Marine Corps veteran named Mark Lano. He's out of Florida. You know, they're trying to break into the barbecue world, but, you know, I think they have a solid product that is designed in America, made in Italy, using Zeiss lenses, hunting and camera lenses that really protect the eyes when you're looking at that high UV light in the barbecue pits.
Oh, that's great.
You know, playing around with them, some of their lenses, showing them some of my friends, and they seem to enjoy them.
Oh, nice. That's awesome.
Another one, I also, you know, represent Carpenter Watches, handmade watches out of Brooklyn. Neil Carpenter, good guy. Again, I just signed on with Pitmaker. I'll pick up my new pit next week. And then I'm on retainer in a number of different restaurants across the state. So when they need content or pictures, they give me a holler and I come down and shoot their stuff.
Oh, that's so great. It's like, who would have thought that just from the beginning, from your passion in barbecue, turned into this? This is, I'm so proud of you. That's so killer. It's so awesome.
Oh, yeah. I never, like, envision any of this happening, but here I am now considering, do I leave my high dollar CEO job to go do photography? And on paper that sounds like a crazy proposition, but when I talk, you know, some of the people know what I get paid to do it, I'm blessed.
Yeah, I can imagine. That's so cool, and I so appreciate you taking the time, because you are easily the busiest person, the hardest person to get a hold of to get some time, because you're always going from one place to the other. So and your work it does stand out. You can definitely tell that it's work from Robert Lerman, for sure, without a doubt.
Well, I appreciate that, because I do. It does mean a lot when I hear compliments or people recognize me or they want to meet me. You know, I was judging out in at an event in Houston last weekend. Here I am, flanked between Allison Cook, multiple James Beard Award winners, and Pat Sharp, food critic from Texas Monthly, Wayne Miller next to me, and then there's another bar guy, and then there's me. And I'm here like, what am I doing here?
No, but you belong there now. You do.
With that, yeah. But to have, you know, Allison Cook tell me a story about a picture that I took at City Market in Luling resonate with her, which made her cry, and reminded her of a time when she was a young kid, her grandfather taking her to a barbecue place. These are the stories that people that I admire, or all these barbecue people admire on their level, respect the work that I do. Whoa. And I recently just started calling it work, because for the most part, I didn't consider it work, because it was just something fun. But, you know, now so I understand the value behind what I do and the impact I have on this world. And I'm, like I said, I'm pretty blessed to have the access I have.
Oh, yeah.
To be able to go into, you know, whether any place in Texas, or to when I was in, you know, Atlanta last weekend or a few weekends ago, I went to Bee's Cracklin.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't tell Brian I was coming. I just showed up and I talked to the person. And he's like, no, Brian just left. So I was like, oh, that's cool. So they asked me my name. I said the name, but I proceeded to go sit down and order. And I'm sitting down, and all of a sudden I get a bunch of text messages that he's on his way back. And then he came from the other side of Atlanta.
Oh, man.
And he gets, oh, man, you're on my list. If anybody comes to my place, I have to come back. And then he shows me his text messages of all these people who saw me check into his place saying, Robert's at your place. You better get back there.
Are you kidding me? Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah, from Elliot Moss from Buxton Hall texting.
Really, Elliot? Oh, that's crazy.
People in Atlanta and across the country saying, hey, he's at your place. You better get back there.
See, that's what...
I never want to be that guy who go. I treat it like I'm an extension of their house.
For sure.
Respectful. I'm not going to be a diva or demanding. I'm never that guy. I get in trouble a lot of the times because they say, you never told me you're king. It's like, I'm not going to go in here and say, hey, I'm Robert and I'm here. Give me extra brisket. I think that's an obnoxious person. I would never want to be that guy.
Oh, for sure. No, that's. But also, too, it just shows that your pictures are resonating with people, and in turn, it's a powerful thing to have a photo from you. There's places that I've seen like Bee's Cracklin that I want to go to now simply because of the photos I saw that you posted on Instagram.
Yeah, he's actually coming next week. I'm hosting him in Austin.
Oh, cool.
He's gonna be staying with me, take him around the city. Same thing I did with Trudy when Bert was starting out. Trudy's Underground.
Yeah, yeah.
This February, I took him around. You know, I try and play tour guide when people come to Texas. People who I feel are, you know, probably the next big thing, or have that same passion. You know, it's always cool to show them around what we're doing here.
Oh, that's so great.
You know, take bits and pieces back to where they go, and, you know, maybe they're inspired a little different. You know, same thing I did with Matt Horn few weeks ago from San Jose Horn Barbecue.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He drove all the way from San Jose to come stay at my house and tour Texas with me.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, his stuff looks great.
Yeah, he went with me to, I was shooting James Beard dinners that weekend. Then I went to some whole hog dinners out of some farms. Then I took him to the Texas Monthly Barbecue Festival. So he had a whirlwind
experience. Oh, what a treat. That's amazing. That's really fantastic.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm super jealous. Well, I'd like to at least see you for a lunch when I come out, for sure. I would
Well, you give me a holler, you know my number.
Yeah, definitely. I'd be honored to spend some time with you. And it'd just be cool to be a fly on the wall and see kind of what you do, but also just going around to barbecue places. I love that more than anything. I love the history of all the old, and I love seeing the pits. I love seeing the wood piles. I'm addicted to seeing wood piles. There's something wrong with me. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you give me a hug, then you can kind of see it in action.
Okay.
You know, it's interesting to hear people talk about it when I'm doing it, but, you know, I from what I gather now, I'm more aware of tying in my day job, you know, building relations, building rapport, talking to people, psychology, being able to cultivate those relationships in the barbecue world where they're able to relax and not pay attention to the big camera in their face.
That's great. That's perfect.
At least
you
have a lot more authentic imagery.
Oh yeah, and that's all we want.
The two worlds.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Robert, and have fun tonight. And that's killer. I'll definitely be following you, and I'll shoot you this over once I get it edited and put online. But thank you so much for your time, and thank you for doing what you're doing. I'm a huge fan, and just on all levels, I really respect what you're doing.
You're very welcome, Kevin. I apologize it took so long to get together. Hopefully, we can score these.
Excellent. I'll see you soon. All right, take care.
Right,
have a great weekend.